From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then Harry Cooney of Growmark will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, USDA is projecting fiscal 2013 agricultural exports will be a record breaker. Chinese officials have met with oilseed processors concerning the high price of soybean meal, and researchers say a new disease of wheat is threatening the staple crop from Africa to East Asia. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens on a Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the numbers now in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, the first trading day of the month of September. Nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat at $8.66, down 4 cents on the day. That is the settlement price. And next year's July settled at $8.61¾. That was up 4 cents. In Kansas City, the July hard red finished at $8.80¼ on its settlement, up a half cent for the day. From the corn pit, these are closes, $8.08½, up 5¾ in the lead option September. December at 8.05½, up 5¾. In the March contract for the corn, $8.03, up 1 cent. May futures 8.02¼, up 7¼. In July at $7.87½, up 7 cents on the day. December of next year at $6.56½, at 6½ cents higher for the harvest month of 2013. Soybean September contract, $17.71¾, up 7¼. November at $17.69½, up 13. In January up 16 at $17.67 for the day. March soybean $17.11, up 26¾. The May at $16.21¼, up 31¾. July up 15 at $15.94, up 37½. That is settlement price. They just came through at November contract of next year at $13.82, up 27 for the day. Bean meal at $5.41.50, down $5.60. Bean oil for the day at $57.62, up $1.20. Live cattle December contract at $128.87½, up 22½. The October at $126.17½, up 15. September feeders at $145, up 40 cents. And lean hogs $74.20 in the lead option, up 2½. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $95.52 a barrel. That's down 93 cents for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $2.96, down a penny and 2 tenths. And ethanol at $2.56¾, up a penny for the day. The spread, well, not available this hour. Natural gas at $2.85, that's up 5⅕ cents. Heating oil at $3.15⅙, down 2⅓ cents for the day. And the gold futures at $1,693.60 an ounce, up $8.30. The U.S. dollar at 81.3, that's up 0.11, and the CRB index at 308.83, down 0.76 on the afternoon. The weather forecast says this afternoon in the Urbana-Champaign area, we'll see isolated showers, partly sunny, a high of 89 degrees with a northwest wind at 3 to 5 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation this afternoon set at 20% for the day. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 89 degrees. And then as we look forward, tomorrow evening, partly cloudy and a low of 63. Thursday, sunny and a high of 81. Thursday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. That after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 60 degrees. And Friday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high of 76. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 59. Saturday, showers, mostly cloudy and 71. Saturday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 55. And on Sunday, sunny skies, and we'll see a high of just 72 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and a low of 54 degrees. Monday, sunny skies and a high of 75. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Services are are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Yeah, kind of an odd day in Chicago. It was up and then down, and I don't know, was the volume high or was it really low today?
You know, it was very, we had earlier, the action was very active. We saw, you know, a number of trades taking place on the rally. But when the volume slowed down, White, that's when we sold off. I mean, basically, somewhat of enthusiasm went away. We had Allendale's numbers, you know, a little bit. They were positive numbers. They were down to 119 on the yield and 34.5 on the beans, and that pepped things up a little bit. And then later, right after about noon Chicago time, things backed off, settled down. We were negative for a while, and then we bounced back and closed just a little bit higher. But all in all, we've got a lot of the traders thinking that maybe some of these early yields are worse than what the later yields are going to be. They'd like to see a little more proof before they take us to some new highs. So it's going to be choppy here in that Dease corn, not closing above that 810 mark, still above the $8 mark, but not above that 810 like we'd like to see for it to push on higher.
Will it challenge tonight that 810 mark?
Boy, you know, we're going to have crop conditions and stuff this afternoon. I think it's going to be hard to push through in the night here tonight. I think they'll wait and see a little bit more what's going on.
Expectations for the crop conditions report? It's a day late, of course, this week because of Labor Day.
I think you can talk to 10 different people and get 10 different ideas. I think, a little bit maybe better in the beans and maybe a little bit worse in the corn as we look at things. But I think basically unchanged is the real number as far as it goes.
You mentioned the Allendale numbers, those put out prior to the crop production report, which is due out next week from the USDA. Will it show a small crop getting bigger or a small crop getting smaller? And it may differ, I suppose, for corn and soybeans.
Well, I think the differential being there is, and I'm not sure how NAS figures it, how do we figure in all the acres been cut for silage and that? Now, do we increase the yield and cut the harvested acres, or do we schedule them down where they're at, and how's the NAS going to handle that? It's probably the big question on that. You know, nothing. FC Stone's supposed to put out their numbers tomorrow, and we're also looking for Inform on Friday with their numbers as far as their guesstimates, Todd.
So a big week in the news department, at least for agriculture.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have that going on. I think we're going to hear from some of the European economic news, and of course we'll have the jobs numbers out at the end of the week.
Yeah, that's actually where I was headed next. Was Europe seems to be waking up from its vacation at this point, and talking again about its economy. Will they have a QE3 or not? Will they have a quantitative easing, or will they adjust interest rates? What will they do?
Well, you know, they're supposed to announce and what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to be. We're going to probably adjust some interest rates down a little bit. But they're going to try to sell some more bonds. They're going to try to get the interest rates down for some of the Spanish bonds and things like that. So we are seeing some ideas that might happen. You know, if we did look today, the dollar was up 10 cents, a little bit. The euro dollar basically unchanged. But there are some people talking about where we might see a little strength in the dollar coming back in from all of the excitement being generated down in North Carolina.
What are you hearing about, and I know producers may not be back in the field just yet, but what have you heard in terms of yields in the last week from the producers you talked to?
40 bushel corn, 50 bushel corn, and the best I have heard on any 60 bushel corn on 100 acres. And I did hear some 100 bushel corn in one area today. We're just talking to one of the crop insurance adjusters is in the office right now, and they'd just been out to one field or one farmer and needed to have 400 bushels, did make 100 bushel, and that's the best we've heard.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it for today. Pretty quiet day.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
A couple of notes. If you're looking for some different ways to get hold of us rather than just listening on the radio, you can always do the website at willag.org, the mobile website at m.willag.org, or just call in at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day at 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. Again, the number is 217-333-3434. One other note, if you haven't picked up your tickets yet for Salute to Agriculture Day here at the Illini football game, that's the 15th of September. Game time is at 11 o'clock. Tailgate at 9 o'clock in the College of Aces tent, just across from the entrance to the Assembly Hall. That's in the Circle Drive, just to the west there, not too far from the football stadium. Cost is only $20. Good seats, great meal. Come and see us September the 15th. Search Google for Salute to Agriculture, Illinois football. Well, Dave Dickey is here now, and he has a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA's August Outlook Report for Agricultural Trade projects 2013 fiscal year exports will top $143.5 billion, about $6.1 billion higher than 2011's record exports of $137.4 billion. USDA says prices will factor into a shift in top export markets over the next year. USDA says China, with a record $21 billion in purchased U.S. ag products in 2012, will dip about $500 million lower in 2013. The expected dip in Chinese imports would move Canada back into the top U.S. market for agricultural goods in 2013 at $21 billion, about $1 billion higher than Canada's imports of U.S. agricultural goods this year. Mexico is forecast to buy $19 billion in U.S. goods in fiscal 2013. The driving factor in higher export value remains the rising costs of grain commodities. China's top economic planner, the National Development and Reform Commission, met with major oilseed processors to express concern about soy meal prices and to warn about excessive speculation in the market, signaling Chinese officials are concerned with food inflation amid its slowing economy. In an auction on August 30th, China Grain Reserves Corporation sold all 401,000 tons of soybeans offered at an average price of $719 a ton, a record high for a government auction of soybean reserves. Researchers say wheat fields from East Africa to South Asia are under threat from new strains of a plant fungus that creates a black mass of twisted stems and dried up grains, which could significantly impact global food security. The disease, known as stem rust, is carried by the wind. When the fungus overtakes a plant, it rots it from the inside. Much of the world's breadbasket now lies in the path of an especially dangerous form called UG99, first found in Uganda and named in 1999. Smithfield Foods' fiscal first quarter earnings dropped 25% as the pork producer saw weaker results from its fresh pork business and higher costs weigh on margins. Smithfield buys roughly 128 million bushels of corn and corn equivalents each year to feed its hogs. For the quarter ending July 29th, Smithfield reported a profit of $61.7 million, or 40 cents per share, down from $82.1 million, or 49 cents a share a year earlier. Sales were essentially flat at $3.1 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up every year, the Illini football team celebrates Illinois agriculture. This season's event is less than 2 weeks away. I'll have more on how you can join in all the action at Memorial Stadium in Champaign.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Salute to Agriculture Day at the Illini football game is September the 15th. Illinois will host Charleston Southern with kickoff expected at 11 o'clock. Long before that, the tailgaters will be out. They'll be partying, including the College of Aces. The Agricultural College will host a tailgate just to the west of the main entrance, the Circle Drive of the Assembly Hall, says Kendra Corson.
And we're going to have a lot of things that day. We'll have a tailgate that will start at 9 in the morning. It'll be on the west side of the Assembly Hall, right west of the main entrance. And that will have everything from a live auction, a program that's going to be hosted by Orion Samuelson with a lot of our faculty, some of our university dignitaries, and a lot of things with our FFA and our 4-H students. So kind of honoring them, some of the scholarships they've received, a breakfast, all those great types of things.
Corson helps to coordinate the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences special events. She says the tailgate is open and a good deal. All you need is a ticket.
Actually, there's two packages. For a student package, and that's anybody that's from age zero to if they're a grad student in college, it's $15. That includes your game ticket and a meal ticket, and that's a breakfast sandwich and drink. If you're an adult, $20. That's, again, game ticket and breakfast ticket. So it's a really great deal.
She's right. It's a really great deal. The tickets are all in the lower main sections of Memorial Stadium, most of them in the end zone, not the horseshoe. The tailgate starts at 9 a.m. Again, that's just to the west of the main entrance of the Assembly Hall. The Illini kick off at 11 a.m. Saturday morning, September the 15th. If you would like tickets to the University of Illinois College of Aces tailgate, you can order online through Friday, September the 7th. Search Google using these words, Salute to Agriculture, Illini Football. That's Salute to Agriculture, comma, Illini Football. It's the first thing that comes up.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're always available online at willag.org. That's willag.org. On this Tuesday afternoon, let's check the energy markets with Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
And shall we start with Isaac and the interruption that might or might not have been caused by the storm moving up through the Gulfport and then right into the parts of the Midwest?
Well, sure. Originally when Isaac started coming into the Gulf, it looked like it was going to stay on the eastern side of the Gulf and more on the western side of Florida there, closer to the Florida coast. There's not nearly the offshore oil and natural gas rigs out there to be affected. Also, whenever it starts coming close to New Orleans, there is a large offshore oil platform right out south of New Orleans. I think it's like 35 or 40 miles south of Grand Isle, Louisiana, where the large ocean-going ships of oil come up and unload. They call it the LOOP, stands for Louisiana Offshore Oil Platform. So anytime a hurricane starts coming around New Orleans, we start getting concerned about that also. That had to be shut for several days for the importing of crude oil from those ships, but it's back in operation now. There's about four or five refineries along the Gulf Coast that have had some damage due to the storm. Maybe some major flooding around the refineries still. I think there's three or four of them that are still having problems as a result of the storm. But overall, just a Category 1 or so. It's not like a Category 4 or 5, so it didn't have as much of an impact, nearly the impact, fortunately, as the ones did 4 or 5 years ago there.
Given that, are the supplies and stocks of gasoline and diesel in good or bad shape?
Well, they're fairly tight, and that's why going into harvest here, we have been advocating for the last month or so that producers make sure and have their diesel fuel tanks full or get them full, And, of course, there's a couple of reasons for that. There's a tight supply situation that's especially been seen in the western Midwest, but we have concerns that it could spread into the eastern Midwest. But also just the flat price of diesel has come up quite a bit here. In fact, lead month heating oil futures bottomed in late June and have rallied probably about 60 cents since that low was made. And diesel fuel prices, of course, are derived from the NYMEX heating oil futures contract. So stocks are fairly tight. They're tighter than normal on diesel than they are on gas. Gas is just slightly below normal. Diesel is a fair amount below normal. So, again, keeping inventories on the upper end as we approach harvest here. It seemed like we're going to have a real early harvest there for a while. And now since we've started to have some rains, now it seems like it may be earlier than normal, but not quite as much as we had thought there for a while.
So your advice is for those who have not stocked up on supplies to go ahead and were maybe waiting for a break, go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, the problem is there's no price break here. I mean,
right.
The prices have rallied quite a bit, so there's no bargains out there. But we still have enough concerns about supply that I'd want to be filled up ahead of harvest in here. Then for next year, we'll start looking at opportunities after harvest around the Thanksgiving to Christmas time period to start contracting some needs for the 2013 spring and maybe even next fall at that time also.
Those are the seasonal studies you like to follow on the charts?
Yeah, that's right. And most of the time those work, and I say most of the time, it's like 7 or 8 out of 10 years the seasonal trends do work, and those seasonal trends suggest that buying between around Thanksgiving all the way out to Valentine's Day, that time period is the time to buy for the next year. And there's no reason to think this year that that won't be the case also.
Are there any fundamental reasons that historically have interrupted that kind of seasonal pattern?
Well, anytime you have a major move in the stock market in one direction or the other, that tends to have an influence to a certain extent on the oil prices, on the tie-in to the economy. So if for some reason the stock market would be real strong at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year, it would probably be unlikely that we'd be able to get a good sell-off like we would normally want in the oil prices. But again, like 7 or 8 out of 10 years, it's worked well. That's about as good a track record as anybody or any system has. So we continue to subscribe to that philosophy and that thought, and it's served quite well here over the past 10 years.
Now, while we have had a drought, there will be some early harvest of corn coming, and it will be a little on the wet side. Can you tell me about propane stocks?
Yes. I mean, propane stocks are very adequate going into harvest here. Propane stocks, of course, came out of last winter very adequate and at above normal numbers. And then here this summer, the stocks have continued to build. And so we have adequate stocks going into harvest this year. And so there should not be a problem at all with the propane stocks. We'll just have to see now what kind of a winter we have, or even if we have a winter or not.
All right. Thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report to look at the agricultural energies. Somebody does that each and every Tuesday. Harry does it once a month on the first Tuesday of the month. Thanks to him. In just a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's National Macadamia Nut Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1783, Frederick Tudor was born. An American businessman long before refrigeration, he was among the first to create an export trade in block ice, harvested from frozen freshwater ponds in New England in the winter. The ice was shipped to India, Europe, and the Caribbean. In 1801, Colin Whipple was born. An American inventor and machinist, He patented the first practical screw machine in the U.S. for making pointed screws. Early screws had blunt ends, making it necessary to drill a starter hole. He also invented and patented seven other machines for improving the manufacture of screws. In 1885, the Exchange Buffett opened the first self-service restaurant. In 1888, George Eastman was issued a landmark U.S. patent for his box camera. On the same date, he registered the trademark name Kodak. The camera used a fixed-focus lens fast enough to take practically instantaneous exposures, and it held enough film for 100 pictures. And in 1917, Irving Colburn died, an American inventor. His process for fabricating continuous sheets of flat glass made mass production of glass for windows possible. Colburn went bankrupt before the technology was perfected, and he was bought out by the Toledo Glass Company, who hired him on to finalize the technology. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start right here in the Midwest. Don, what do you see for harvest? We had some really good rainfall over the weekend. That probably slowed things down for a while, and producers will want to get in and start harvesting corn, if not some soybeans, in the pretty near future.
Well, there's going to be a little more weather moving in, although I think for most of the rest of this week, any shower or thunderstorm activity is going to be fairly spotty, not amounting to too much. The better rain chances will come in with a pretty healthy cold front that's going to arrive Friday night and into Saturday. This should bring a good coverage of rain to most of Indiana, most of Illinois, portions of Ohio. I don't see a lot of rain with the system in Iowa or Missouri, but those areas will get a little bit. And it will cool us off as well as making things a little bit more wet. But it's a quick-moving system, and right behind that system should be a period of it won't be real warm. Temperatures will be a little bit below normal, but we don't see any significant precipitation. So the first half of next week, there should be some good movement with harvest.
All right, and then if you look out a little further into the following week, do you see any potential harvest problems?
Well, I see a continuation of fairly quick-moving systems. The heaviest rain right now looks to be staying just to the east of the Midwest. So right now, I would say no. We don't see any slow-moving systems, at least centered over the Midwest. If we do see some slower-moving systems, they'll be more off to the east, eastern Great Lakes, New England areas.
Can you talk a little bit about the track of Isaac and where it helped to alleviate drought in the Midwest and maybe the Delta regions, other parts of the nation?
Well, without a doubt, those areas you just mentioned, the Delta, some of the south central United States, as you get up through Missouri, Arkansas, obviously the big rains in Louisiana. But, boy, the coverage of rain, at least in Illinois and many areas of Indiana, a lot of rain gauge reports over a three-day period were anywhere between 2 to 5 inches of rain, obviously favoring the central and southern areas of those states, the lighter amounts in the northern and northwest areas.
Are you still concerned about for places further to the west, Iowa, maybe Kansas, some of the wheat-growing regions of the northwestern part of the United States?
Oh, no doubt. Those areas missing out, only those far eastern state, those eastern parts of those states got any rain from Isaac. Still very dry in those wheat areas of Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and Texas.
Anything around the planet that we need to discuss before I let you go for the afternoon?
Continued drier in Brazil. Argentina looks to be the favorite area of getting rain here over the next week to 10 days.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us here on the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. Just a reminder, if you have not picked up your tickets for Salute to Agriculture Day at the Illini football game, that's the 15th day of September. You can always find it online. Just look for Salute to Agriculture and then comma, Illinois football, $20. Get you a tailgate at the Aces tent and a pretty decent seat for the football game. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.